you will hear part of a radio program about journalists who interview famous people. For questions 16 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 1 minute in which to look at part three.
Journalism has become a subject for serious study, judging by the number of schools and colleges offering courses and degrees in media studies. Students now write theses on the art of interviewing. We are in something of a mini golden age for the celebrity interview. Just open any British paper or magazine. In Britain, almost every paper has its star interviewer. The bylines are big, the space generous, and the remuneration handsome. Rival papers try to lure away star interviewers, the way they once fought over the big columnist or the voice of sport, knowing that a good interview, with a good name, sells papers. But who are these interviewers, and how do they do it? I spoke first to Lynn Barber, who's been interviewing famous people, or FPs, for many years for a variety of national newspapers.
Left to myself, I tend to choose interviewees who are male, older than myself, and difficult. I don't mind if they are vain, egotistical, or badly behaved. I avoid nice, sane, straightforward people. My best subjects are the last people on earth you would want to meet at a dinner party. I usually start with a clever, complicated question like, you said in one paper in 1996 blah blah blah, whereas you told a magazine in 1998 blah blah blah. This is to let them see that I've done my homework, that I've made an effort and so should they, and that I won't be fobbed off with old answers. Then I might go on to some soft questions about childhood, finishing with a few more provocative observations, carefully worded, such as, "It seems to me you are very arrogant," just to get them going.
For Zoe Heller, each interview is a week's work.
It does look like a breeze, interviewing one person and taking a week over it. I've got faster, but I still write very slowly. I don't know how people manage without a tape recorder. I couldn't do it. You couldn't possibly get their exact words. I often send them one of my previous pieces in advance, showing them what they're in for, what they can expect. If they agree to see me, I expect them to play the game. There always is a dilemma. I fret about upsetting people. But at the same time, I want to describe them honestly. Quite a few people have been upset. I wouldn't be interviewed by me, or by anyone. God, no. I spend a whole week persuading someone to do something that I wouldn't do myself in a month of Sundays.
Angela Lambert, a very experienced interviewer, doesn't use a tape recorder. She makes notes in longhand during the interview.
When I arrive, I usually explain that everything that happens belongs to me, though if they say something is off the record, I won't write it down. If they're nervous, I'll say, look, trust me, otherwise you won't enjoy it and I won't enjoy it. If you're really nervous, I'll abandon it. I have no hidden agenda. If, of course, they behave badly and are beastly, I'll write that down. At the end, I say, if they have any regrets, then say it now. They hardly ever take anything back, except trivial things, such as, perhaps, don't mention my brother. A great many interviewees mistake intimacy for real friendship. There is reciprocal warmth, which can be very embarrassing, as I'm highly unlikely to see them again. If you're doing an ordinary human interest story, I know that my sympathy will stop the moment the interview is over. They don't realise that, but I feel guilty. If it's a so-called celebrity interview, then that doesn't matter. I don't feel guilty. They know the ropes.
Ray Connolly is one of the few male journalists rated by the women in the field.
As for my approach, I try to tell a story with a beginning, a middle and an end in order to make it readable. That's why chat show interviews are so poor. The best bit might be in the first minute or the last minute. With a written interview, you can shape it to get the best effect. If asked, I will let people see the interview, but I don't offer. In 30 years, I've had few complaints. I often protect people from themselves, They don't realise what they say, how things might hurt their children. I like doing writers best. I like actors least. They have nothing to say.
Now, as an interviewer myself, this got me thinking. Why is it that I...
Now you'll hear part three again.
Journalism has become a subject for serious study, judging by the number of schools and colleges offering courses and degrees in media studies. Students now write theses on the art of interviewing. We are in something of a mini golden age for the celebrity interview. Just open any British paper or magazine. In Britain, almost every paper has its star interviewer. The bylines are big, the space generous, and the remuneration handsome. Rival papers try to lure away star interviewers, the way they once fought over the big columnist or the voice of sport, knowing that a good interview with a good name sells papers. But who are these interviewers and how do they do it? I spoke first to Lynn Barber, who's been interviewing famous people, or FPs, for many years for a variety of national newspapers.
Left to myself, I tend to choose interviewees who are male, older than myself, and difficult. I don't mind if they are vain, egotistical, or badly behaved. I avoid nice, sane, straightforward people. My best subjects are the last people on earth you would want to meet at a dinner party. I usually start with a clever, complicated question like, "You said in one paper in 1996, blah, 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 whereas you told a magazine in 1998, blah, blah, blah." This is to let them see that I've done my homework, that I've made an effort, and so should they, and that I won't be fobbed off with old answers. Then I might go on to some soft questions about childhood, finishing with a few more provocative observations, carefully worded, such as, "It seems to me you are very arrogant," just to get them going.
For Zoe Heller, each interview is a week's work.
It does look like a breeze, interviewing one person and taking a week over it. I've got faster, but I still write very slowly. I don't know how people manage without a tape recorder. I couldn't do it. You couldn't possibly get their exact words. I often send them one of my previous pieces in advance, showing them what they're in for, what they can expect. If they agree to see me, I expect them to play the game. There always is a dilemma. I fret about upsetting people. But at the same time, I want to describe them honestly. Quite a few people have been upset. I wouldn't be interviewed by me, or by anyone. God, no. I spend a whole week persuading someone to do something that I wouldn't do myself in a month of Sundays.
Angela Lambert, a very experienced interviewer, doesn't use a tape recorder. She makes notes in longhand during the interview.
When I arrive, I usually explain that everything that happens belongs to me, though if they say something is off the record, I won't write it down. If they're nervous, I'll say, "Look, trust me. Otherwise you won't enjoy it and I won't enjoy it. If you're really nervous, I'll abandon it." I have no hidden agenda. If, of course, they behave badly and are beastly, I'll write that down. At the end, I say, "If they have any regrets, then say it now." They hardly ever take anything back, except trivial things, such as, perhaps, "Don't mention my brother." A great many interviewees mistake intimacy for real friendship. There is reciprocal warmth, which can be very embarrassing, as I'm highly unlikely to see them again. If you're doing an ordinary human interest story, I know that my sympathy will stop the moment the interview is over. They don't realise that, but I feel guilty. If it's a so-called celebrity interview, then that doesn't matter. I don't feel guilty. They know the ropes.
Ray Connolly is one of the few male journalists rated by the women in the field.
As for my approach, I try to tell a story with a beginning, a middle and an end in order to make it readable. That's why chat show interviews are so poor. The best bit might be in the first minute or the last minute. With a written interview, you can shape it to get the best effect. If asked, I will let people see the interview, but I don't offer. In 30 years, I've had few complaints. I often protect people from themselves. They don't realise what they say, how things might hurt their children. I like doing writers best. I like actors least. They have nothing to say.
Now, as an interviewer myself, this got me thinking. Why is it that I...
That's the end of part 3. Now turn to part 4.